إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah, we praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His servant and His messenger. This morning, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, brothers, we would like to complete this topic, very, very important topic, ahammiyatul waqt, the importance of time fi hayatul muslim, in the life of a Muslim, the importance of time. And in the previous days, up until now, 4 days, we mentioned a number of points, yani, which can be summarized in yani, real summary. The Shaykh has mentioned the importance of time and that which proves the importance of time and the necessity of protecting, preserving, yani taking care of one's time. And from amongst the evidences that he mentioned are those evidences that come under the category that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the importance of time by swearing by the time. By swearing by the dawn, wal-fajr, by swearing by the afternoon, wal-asr, by swearing by the day and night and so on. The second group of evidences are related to ayat in the Qur'an where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows the importance of time by enumerating time or yani counting time as being from amongst His great blessings. The time that He has given to us in this world is from amongst the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore a person should understand its value and its worth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and take care of that time. And from the evidences that the Shaykh mentioned are ayats that come under the category which show the importance of time where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows how the people in the hellfire, when they see their punishment, they will ask Allah to come back, give me another chance so I can utilize this time in a way that I didn't utilize it before. And of course this will never happen. And yesterday we mentioned some evidences from the Sunnah where the Shaykh, Hafidhullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, mentioned 3 hadith. One of them, the great hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, نِعْمَتَانْ مَغْبُونْ فِيهِمَا كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ السِّحَّةِ وَالْفَرَاغِ, that there are 2 tremendous great blessings, favors, bounties of Allah that most of the people are losers in reference to them. That is good health and spare time. Most people are losers in reference to this. Great loss. And the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, لَنْ تَزُولُ قَدَمَا عَبْدٍ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ حَتَّى يُسَلْ عَنْ أَرْبَعٍ, that no human being, no servant of Allah, no worship of Allah will go forward from the standing place on Yawm al-Qiyamah until they ask about 4 things. The first of them about his life, how did he use it, how did he spend it, and about his youth. How did you use it? What did you do with it? And then he will be asked about his wealth, how did he get it and how did he spend it? And then he will be asked about, the last of them, about what? He will be asked about his knowledge. What did he do with it? Yani, did he act upon it? And the last hadith that the Shaykh mentions is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, اِغْتَنَمْ خَمْسًا قَبْلَ خَمْسٍ, yani take advantage of 5 things before 5 others. And he mentioned from amongst them, your youth before you become old, your life before death, your health before sickness, and your wealth before poverty. And finally what? Your spare time before you become occupied. Wallahi, these hadith, each of them require time for themselves, yani, to really reflect upon the great yani blessing in what the Prophet ﷺ has conveyed to us in these words. But the time is not for that now. We want to continue and complete today, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, this topic and what the Shaykh has said concerning it. After he mentioned the importance of the time from these hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, said that a person who yani is young should take advantage of their youth, and the person who is healthy should take advantage of their good health. And then the Shaykh, he said, رَأَيْتُ مَرَّ فِي أَحَدِ الْمُسْتَشْفِيَاتِ شَابًا شَاب عُمْرَهُ 20 سنة أو يَتَجَاوَزُهَا بِقَلِيلٍ. يعني I saw in a hospital, in one of the hospitals, a young man who was 20 years old, or maybe a little more. A young man. And that young man had been afflicted by burning. His body was burnt up. This was, yani, 1 year. The fire that the man was in took place 1 year before I saw him. Yani, I saw this man after he had been burnt up in the fire, 1 year after he had been burnt up, and his body had been burnt like charcoal, completely, kamilan, his whole body was burnt. And it was, he was as though you were looking at a piece of wood, yani a burnt piece of wood. His hands were stiff, his feet were stiff, he was not able to move them. He was lying on his bed for one complete year, a whole year lying on the bed, couldn't move. A young man who didn't go beyond 20 years. And this young man used to think a lot about different types of ta'at, obedience. And qurbat, means of nearness to Allah, doing things that will get him near to Allah. In that condition. وَأَنْتَ فِي صِحَّةِ وَعَافِيَ وَنَشَاطِ. But as for you, enjoying good health, well-being, active and able, while this man, yani, is in that condition that we saw him in. So what about you? What are you going to do? This young man, I saw in front of him a mus'haf, yani a copy, a printed copy of the Quran. So I said, how do you read it? And you can't move. How do you read it? He said, if I need the mus'haf, I just point to them, to the, some of the people, whoever is there, and they open it in front of me. Yani, he's not able to open the mus'haf because his hands are stiff. So it is, the mus'haf is open in front of him and he reads from it. What about us? What do we do with the mus'haf? And is it sitting on a shelf, collecting dust, waiting for Ramadan? Allahumma musta'an. He said, yani, so the mus'haf is open in front of him, he reads it. And if he finishes from the page, he calls someone, yani, he points to someone, and they turn to the next page for him so that he can read. And as for you, your hands are active, and your sight is good. And you have good health. So, how do you, or what are you doing in terms of turning over the pages of the Mus'haf? Looking at the speech of Allah. How diligent are you? How active are you in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and doing the things that earn nearness to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala? As far as the disabled, many of us forget who is really the real disabled person, the mu'aq. We forget who's the real disabled person. The real disabled person is not the one who has lost his foot or lost his hand or some part of his body like this. But the real disabled person is the one who has a healthy body, but he has been disabled from obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His body is healthy, but he has been disabled from doing acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has 2 feet, and he has 2 hands, and he has 2 eyes which are healthy and whole and sound. He has good health, but he is disabled, yani. He is prevented, he is hindered from acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the real disabled person. As far as the one who has lost his feet or lost his hand or lost his hearing or his sight, but he is acting, yani he is doing something within the bounds, the limits of his ability, doing those things that earn nearness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this person is not disabled. But the disabled person is the one who has been disabled from obedience, who has been prohibited from the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I saw many years ago, the Shaykh says, I saw many years ago a man who had lost one of his feet, Yani his leg was cut off up to his knee. His leg was cut off up to his knee. And just a couple of days ago, I saw a brother whose leg was cut off up to his knee. He had one leg, and the other one was cut off up to his knee. A few days ago, 3 or 4 days ago. Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah. He said, his leg was cut off up to his knee. He didn't have except one leg or one foot. And he was praying the Taraweeh completely on one foot. And he had threw his stick down, the stick that he used to walk with. I saw this with my own eyes. Standing on one foot, performing Taraweeh. And it used to be some time ago, as some of you probably know, and some of you may not know, in the masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to pray Taraweeh or Tahajjud. That is, in the last part of the night, they used to pray it while reciting 3.5 juz of Quran. I heard the story of a man who came here and led the prayer one night in Ramadan some years ago and recited 1 juz of Quran, and the people liked to die. The Shaykh said, they used to recite every night 3.5 juz of Quran. And this man was standing. Yani, at that time the people, they would be tired, they would be worn out, serious, yani, exhaustion from standing for 3.5 juz of Quran. But I saw this man, wallahi, he said, I saw my own eyes in front of me, and he prayed tahajjud completely, 3.5 juz of Quran, standing on 1 foot. So what about us? This is not the disabled one. Even though he has lost a foot. But the disabled one is the one who is sitting in the street. He has 2 feet and he has 2 hands. But he has not taken advantage of them to use them in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has not taken advantage of them to get near to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has advised us. And he has given a complete and perfect advice. اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. Yani, take advantage of 5 before 5. And this اغتنام, taking advantage of something, is in that which is in reference to things which will pass you by. If you don't take advantage of them, you will lose it. This is what is the meaning of اغتنام. Yani, you say take advantage of something because if you didn't, you will lose the ghanima. Yani, the benefit, the reward, the thing that you're looking for. If you don't take advantage of it at that point, it will get away from you. And if that opportunity passed you by, whatever the ghanima, the bounty, the booty, the reward, the thing that you're looking for, whatever it is will be lost. And if you don't take advantage of it, the benefit will go away. وَلَا يَعُودْ. And it will not come back again. For this reason, the human being needs to take advantage of these matters. Will a person's youth come back to them after it goes? It will not come back. Youth will not come back once it is gone. It will not return. For this reason, a person has to take advantage of it before it goes. And if it hasn't already gone. But even if it's already gone, it's not too late for something else to take advantage of the rest. To take advantage of some good health or some wealth or some spare time or whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. Take advantage of good health before it goes. Take advantage of your ability to be active before it goes. Take advantage of these times before they go. Utilize it in obedience to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, with the best form of obedience, and to get near to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best form of nearness. And the point here is that in the textual proofs of the Quran and the Sunnah, there are many evidences that make clear the importance of time. Many evidences. And as I said, as we began this morning, the Shaykh mentioned a lot of evidences under different groups of types of proofs. Many evidences. So whoever reflects upon these textual proofs, or if we reflect upon these textual proofs, then we come to a subject, a great subject, and that is necessary for us to study and to reflect upon. That is, how does a human being protect and preserve their time. And how do they protect it from loss, from it getting away from them, and not getting the benefit and advantage of it? But before that, before we talk about that, how to protect one's time, how to preserve one's time, I want to convey to you a beautiful word that was spoken by Al-Fudayl Ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, a beautiful conversation about time, about al-waqt. This conversation took place between Al-Fudayl Ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, with a man who had reached 60 years in age. Yani? Some of us already reached 60. And even 70. Where's Uthman? I think Uthman reached 80. Naam. A man who reached 60 years of age. So Fudayl met him. And this beautiful conversation, this very beneficial extremely beneficial conversation took place between them. Al-Fudayl said to him, to the man, Kam atat alayka. Meaning, Kam umruk. Yani, what is your age? Kam atat alayka. What is your age? The man said, Sittuna sana. 60 years. So Fudayl said, Wa anta mundhu sittina sana tasiru ila rabbik. And he so since 60 years you were traveling towards your Rabb. For 60 years you're on the road to your Rabb. Yushiku an tabluga. Yani it is expected or anticipated that you are about to reach. And he's 60 years, right? The Prophet ﷺ said that the lifespan of my ummah is between 60 and 70 years. Person reached 60, khalas, he's about there, reach the destination. Meaning you are about to come to the end of your time in this life. The man said, when the man heard that, the man said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And he realized that he's in trouble. It's over. But guess what? You don't have to be 60 to be near the end. A person may die when they're 20 or 30 or 40. You don't know when you're going to die. But a man who reads 60 khalas, he knows it's finished. For sure. When the man thought about it, he said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Verily to Allah we belong and to Him is our return. Fudayl said to him, Atarifu tafsira? Do you know the meaning of what you just said? The meaning of Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un? Yani this speech which you just said, do you know what it means? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And on this occasion, the Shaykh says, he wants to mention now, at this point he wants to stop and say, and it's appropriate to mention here, that many of the adhkar, the words of remembrance, like Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, or La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, or Subhanaha, Subhanallah, and words like this, many of these adhkar are on the tongues of many of the people. But if they were asked, what is the meaning of them, they don't know. I don't mean the translation, the meaning. What does it really mean? If you ask people what does Subhanallah mean, they'll say, glory to Allah. That's what it means? Not really. The Shaykh said, you ask them what does it mean, they won't know what it means. For this reason, this is a beautiful note. Extremely beautiful note from Al-Fudayl Ibn Iyad, rahimahullah, that he stopped this person here and he said to him, do you know what is the meaning of this? Yani, you have said just now, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, do you know what is the explanation of this word, of this statement? فَقَالَ الْفُضَيْلِ. Do you know what is the explanation? And then he began to explain to him the meaning of this statement. So listen to its explanation. تَقُولُ إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. Yani when you say إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَأَنَا لِلَّهِ, yani إِنَّا is in the plural. If you say this, this means that you are, I am to Allah an abd. I am for Allah a slave, a servant, a worshipper. And the meaning, this is the meaning of أَنَا لِلَّهِ, that I belong to Allah. The meaning of it is that I am a slave of Allah, and to Him I am going to return. So this word, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, is composed of two sentences. The first sentence, Inna lillahi, is confession or acknowledgement from the abd, from the servant, from the worshipper, the acknowledgement of ubudiyya, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the right to be worshipped, that we are His slave and His worshipper. Inna lillahi, it means, ana lillahi mamluk. I am possessed or owned by Allah. Ana abdullah, I am the slave, servant, worshipper of Allah. Ana makhluk lillah, I am created, a creation of Allah. I am controlled by my Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the first sentence, inna lillahi, meaning, we belong to Allah, that Allah has created us, He has brought us into existence, and He controls everything about us. The second sentence, inna wa inna ilayhi raji'un, means all of us, we are returning to Allah. There is no one of us that will remain in this life. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, wa anna ila rabbika al-muntaha, that and indeed to your Rabb is the end. Yani everyone will return to Allah. And Allah subhanahu, that's in Surah Najm 53:42. And the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, anna ila rabbika ar-ruj'a, and indeed to your Rabb is the return, in Surah Al-Alaq 96 Surah 8th Ayat. So the return and the end of all affairs is the return to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Qala al-Fudail rahimahullah, its meaning is, I am to Allah a slave, servant, worshipper, and to Him I will return. I am a slave of Allah, and to Him I will return. So whoever knows, and this is the Shaykh here, the point that he's making here from this statement of Fudail is critically important here. Whoever knows that he is a slave, worshipper of Allah, and that he is going to return to Him, then he must also know that he is mawquf, that he will be standing, yani standing in front of Allah on Yawmul Qiyamah. And whoever knows that he is mawquf, that he will be standing in front of Allah, then he must know, annahu mas'ul, that he will be questioned on that occasion of standing in front of Allah. And whoever knows that he is mas'ul, that he will be questioned, فَلْيُعِدْ لِلسُّؤَالِ جَوَابًا. Whoever knows that he will be questioned, then he must prepare an answer for that questioning. And of course the answer is, yani, what have you done? What, you have to do some deeds. The answer is not going to be in speech, but the answer is going to be in your actions that you do now. The preparation for that questioning is the deeds that we do right now. If you don't do it now, there won't be any answer. So this is the explanation that Al-Fudail rahimahullah gave for inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So at this point, what did the man say when he heard this explanation, yani this clarification, and he understood the meaning of this statement with the correct understanding? What did he say? He said, فَمَا الْحِيلَةِ. Yani, so, yani, what strategy? What can we do now? What's the course of action? What now? Yani, ماذا نعمل? What shall we do now? And Fudail, he said to him, rahimahullah, yasir, yani, it's easy. Yani, sahla. The matter is easy. So the man said, well, what is it? What can I do now? تحسن فيما بقي يغفر لك ما مضى. Yani, do well, al-ihsan, do excellent, excel in doing good in what remains. If it's 1 year, or 1 month, or 1 day. Do good, ihsan. Yani, worship Allah as though you see Him. And if you can't do that, then know that He sees you. Worship Allah with ihsan in what remains, and you will be forgiven what has passed. Person is 60 years old and they didn't do well in what remains. And you'll be forgiven what has passed. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. So this is the bounty of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. This is the great ni'mah, blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the beauty of His favor and His bounty upon us. 60 years wasted, then the man asks, so what can I do now? Yani do well in what remains, and you will be forgiven what has passed. And we have heard the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the 39th surah of the Quran and 53rd ayat, 39-53. قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفِرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا إِنَّهُ هُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, say, O my servants, yani who have gone, transgressed the bounds, who have exceeded the limits in doing wrong against their own self, do not give up hope of the mercy of Allah. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. He is Al-Ghafoor, the one who forgives, Ar-Rahim, the merciful. Surah Az-Zumr. For this reason, and in this, there came an athar, yani a statement from one of the Salaf, who said, أَتَعْلَمُونَ مَا هِيَ الْغَنِيمَ الْبَارِدَةِ. Do you know what is الْغَنِيمَ الْبَارِدَةِ? Yani the ghanima, the spoils of war, yani that you get without going to war, without fighting. Do you know what is الْغَنِيمَ الْبَارِدَةِ? الْغَنِيمَ الْبَارِدَةِ أَن تُحْسِن فِي مَا بَقِي فَيُغْفَرْ لَكَ مَا مَضَى. Yani that you do well in whatever remains of your life, no matter how much time you have wasted, but do well in what remains. Don't waste any more time, and you will be forgiven whatever has passed by. Even if what has passed by, all of it was misguidance, balal, if all of it was isyan, disobedience and sin, do well in what remains, and you will be forgiven what has passed. Yani, if you cease from your evil behavior, from your wrongdoing, you will be forgiven. You will be forgiven what has passed. And the Shaykh here is referring to ayah in the Quran, in the 8th surah of the Quran, 38th ayat, قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. And say to those who disbelieved, yani kuffar, إِيَّنْتَهُ يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. That if they cease from their kufr, from kufr, they will be forgiven what has passed by. Yani their past kufr, if they stop. So what about yani the people who are Muslims, who have done wrong? Al-Islam yajubbu ma qablahu. Islam removes what was before. Person was a kafir for their whole life, they accept Islam, Islam removes all of that. Wat-tawbah tajubbu ma qablaha. And repentance. Person is a Muslim, but they've been committing sins, repentance removes what was before. This is the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the greatness of His favor, tabarakah wa ta'ala. And for this reason, the servant, worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should never lose hope of the mercy of Allah. For no one should despair of the mercy of Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Yusuf, 12th Surah, 87th Ayat, لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. That no one despairs of the mercy of Allah except the disbelieving people. Rather, it is upon the servant, the worshipper, to do well in what remains of his life. Whatever has passed, that's finished. Whatever has passed from your life is finished. But if it was obedience to Allah, then praise Allah for that. And if it was sin, then repent to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Yani if a person has done well in worshipping Allah, praise Allah. Don't think you are great. Rather, praise Allah. And if you have not done well, then repent. It's not too late. And Allah, for indeed Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, He is the one who accepts repentance from His servants. And He forgives or pardons their sins. And this is in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 25th Ayat. وَهُوَ الَّذِي يَقْبَلُ التَّوْبَةِ عَنْ عِبَادِهِ وَيَعْفُوا عَنِ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah is the one who accepts repentance from His servants, and He pardons, overlooks much of their sins. So He said, yani, He said, تُحْسِن فِي مَا بَقِيَ. Do well in what remains, and you'll be forgiven what has passed. So if you have done evil in what passed, yani, I'm sorry, He said, فَإِنَّكَ إِنْ أَسَأْتَ فِي مَا بَقِيَ. If you do evil in what remains, meaning you continue to do evil, if you do evil in what remains, then you will be called to account for what passed, and you will be called to account for what remains. And for this reason, the servant, the slave, the worshipper should take advantage of this ghanima barida. Yani this blessing, this favor, this reward, this bounty that a person gets without going to war. Yani if his time has been wasted, and if his days have gone by without any aim or purpose, and if he has wasted whatever has passed, yani he has gone to the extremes and transgressed all bounds, then the doors of khair in front of him are open for him to hasten, to get busy now, get busy. And the ways, yani of good, are laid out for you. And the light, the lighthouse, yani that shows the way, is clear. So you should begin with tawbah, nasuha, sincere tawbah, turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely, repenting from every sin and every, yani, wrongdoing. He should turn towards Allah, Jalla wa Ala, with seriousness, striving, resolve, determination, turning to Allah, yani, trying to return to Allah. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anqabut, 29th Surah, 69th Ayat, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. That those who strive in our way, yani who strive and struggle and make a lot of effort, then we will guide them to our ways, yani to many ways of goodness. And indeed, Allah is with the people of Ihsan, those who do good. And the Shaykh, he closed here, he said, yani returning to the final point, after mentioning this conversation of Al-Fudayl, rahimahullah, he says, and what remains is our discussion concerning how to protect and preserve the time. How does one preserve the time? But due to the, yani, limited amount of time that remains, he's saying that he was at the end of the time, there was no time left for him to discuss it in detail, and likewise we don't have any time left. Due to the, yani, limited amount of time, he said, I will summarize this final point, this topic, I will summarize it in points, yani the main points. So the first thing, how does a person protect and preserve their time? Al-isti'ana billahi jalla wa ala wal-i'timad ilayhi. Yani that a person seeks help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and relies upon Allah and constantly seeks refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah will protect His time for him, that Allah will protect your time for you, and that He will keep you distanced from, yani, the things that lead astray, the trials and tribulations that lead one astray. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say in his dua, Allahumma laka aslamna wa bika amanna wa alayka tawakkalna wa ilayka anabna wa bika khasamna. نعوذ بعزتك لا إله إلا أنت أن تضلنا فأنت الحي الذي لا يموت والجن والإنس يموتون. رواه مسلم في صحيح. يعني the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to say, and the Shaykh has mentioned in this supplication in reference to what? That a person should seek help from Allah and rely upon Allah and seek refuge in Allah first and foremost. O Allah, to you we have submitted and in you we believe, and upon you we put our trust and dependence and reliance, and we return to you in repentance, and we argue, we argue for your sake, and we seek refuge in your might, and there is nothing that deserves to be worshipped except you. We seek refuge in your might from you leading us astray. Indeed, you are the all living, the one who does not die, and as far as the jinn and the human beings, they all die. Meaning what? Don't rely upon the humans or the jinns, rather upon Allah al-Hayy alladhi la yamut. He is the one that you put your trust in, and you depend upon him, and you rely upon him, and you surrender to him, and you believe in him, and you turn to him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the human being, yani, the first matter for him that is incumbent upon him is to seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, depend upon Allah and rely upon Allah. The second matter, yatubu ila Allah, that he repents to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, tawbatan nasuha, with sincere repentance, tawbatan sadiqa, truthful, sincere repentance from every sin and every act of disobedience. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah An-Nur, 24th Surah, 31st Ayat, watubu ila Allahi jamian, ayyuha al-mu'minun la'allakum tuflihun. So it is a command. Allah is saying, and turn in repentance to Allah, all of you, O believers, that you may be successful. This is the second matter, yani repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this, yani repentance is the rectification of the human being. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in another place in Surah Al-Tahrim, 66, Surah 8th Ayat, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. O you who believe, repent to Allah with sincere repentance. With sincere repentance. This is the second matter. After relying upon Allah to help you, to protect you, yani from wasting your time, then wherever you fell short, repent to Allah from your shortcomings. Tawbatan nasuha, sincere repentance from every sin and every act of disobedience. And this is by having remorse for the sins that you have committed. And then a complete abandonment, leaving off, stopping from doing those sins. And then having a certain, yani definite resolve not to return to those sins. Yani to have yani sincere remorse for what you have done, to leave it off completely, and to have firm resolve not to return to it. This is tawbah nasuha. This is sincere repentance. And the third matter, the Shaykh says, and the last thing, and after this, yujahid nafsahu fil qiyam bi ta'atillahi wa taqarrubu ilayhi subhanahu wa ta'ala bima yardihi. That a person strives against their self, against their nafs, against their desires to do otherwise. Strive and struggle. Don't just accept whatever you're inclined to do if you know that it's evil and displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But resist and struggle and strive in order to fulfill the acts of obedience to Allah and to do those things that bring you near to Him subhanahu wa ta'ala with that which is pleasing to Him. Strive and struggle to fulfill the commands of Allah, to be obedient to Allah and to do those things that are pleasing to Him, that get you near to Him. And the best of the things that make the abd near to Allah is al-fara'id. Yani the obligatory duties are the best thing that a person can do to get near to Allah. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the hadith al-Qudsi, مَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. And the abd, my servant, my worshipper, does not get near to me with anything that's more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory upon him. And the best thing to get one near to Allah are the obligatory duties. And the Shaykh said, and this is the most important matter after at-tawheed. After at-tawheed. After at-tawheed. Meaning that the most important matter is establishing tawheed. Whoever hasn't established tawheed, then everything else is lost. But after at-tawheed, the most important matter is to protect and preserve the salah. And the time ran out, and the Shaykh said, "Ala kulli hal, nakhtamin hadhihi al-kalima." Yani, we will stop here and finish. I mean, we will complete and seal this matter with this point. Yani, how to protect and preserve one's time, dependence, reliance upon Allah, repenting to Allah and what we fall short in, then striving, making every effort to do the acts of obedience and the things that get near to Allah. And the best of things that get you near to Allah are those things that He made obligatory upon us. And the best of the things that are obligatory upon us after at-tawheed is the salah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Is there any question? Or any comment or any correction on what we have said? Naam, we have a few minutes. Naam. The book is by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq. The book is by Shaykh Abdul Razzaq, the son of Shaykh Abdul Muhsin Al-Abbad, Al-Badr, Hafidhahum Allah. Yes. But, of course, one of the reasons that forced me to read the Arabic is because the translation is not very good. I mean, it's one of the worst translations that I have seen in English. So it compels us not to read from it. I mean, the meaning is there, pretty much, but it's not, you know, it's not, it's a poor translation. Some people shouldn't be translating, and some people shouldn't publish books and sell them to people, and they're in this condition. It's a crime, really. It's a crime now. Wa alaykum salam. Okay, is it related to this?
So you suggest that we shouldn't read the book?
I mean, it's up to you. I mean, it probably costs you a couple of dollars. There's some benefit in it. The ayats and the hadith, the references are there. It's of some benefit for sure. But I mean, if you, you know, don't rely upon it, Yani. Some of it is just not accurate. Some of it is just, you know, not accurate. Some of it is Allah musta'an. Yani, human beings are full of errors. There's no doubt about it. But there has to be some kind of standard. When you're selling something to people, there has to be some kind of standard. And these people have no standard. They'll sell anything to people to get a dollar. That's it. That's the bottom line. That's criminal right there. Now, any question about what we discussed? The topic of time, the importance of time, how to protect and preserve time. What should we be doing in order not to waste time? And we're running out of time. Most of us, most of the people sitting here, except a few, the majority of us are past 50 or 60. Except 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Everybody else here is old. So forgive me, I mean. If you don't want to be old, count yourself amongst those five. Now.
Now, however, as time goes on, it diminishes. How can you preserve that energy?
Well, the best way to preserve that energy, and if you were energized by any ayah that the Shaykh mentioned, or any hadith that he mentioned, then read it again, and you'll be re-energized by those same ayat and those same hadith. Or read the explanation that the Shaykh has gave, in which he has clarified, he has brought out the meaning of those ayats. Because sometimes we read the ayat and we don't really understand the meaning of it. So he has brought out the meaning. Like for example, a couple of days ago, the Shaykh mentioned an ayat from Surah Al-Furqan. And he said, after he mentioned the ayat, he said, and when you have time, yani later on, after we leave from this lecture, we don't have time here, but when you have time later on, read the ayats that follow that. From Surah Al-Furqan to the end of the surah. So if a person went back and read those ayat, they will get a benefit more than they would get if they had just read the one ayat that he presented. Because that one ayat is connected to the ayats that follow. But there are many ayats. So he said, we don't have time to explain all of those ayats now, but go back and read them. And that will be a great benefit. Sometimes we read that ayat and we don't know it's connected to the ayats that follow it. The characteristics of Ibadur Rahman. وَإِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنَ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ حَوْنًا. Those ayah to the end of Surah Al-Rahman, from ayah 61 or 62 or 63 to the end of the surah, all of those ayahs are related to ayah before that the Shaykh mentioned. But which one of us would have known that those ayahs are related to that? Except that somebody, you know, from the people of knowledge, they brought this out. So a person goes back and read the explanation of the Shaykh, or listen to the explanation of the Shaykh, and then you'll be re-energized again, in the same way, inshallah. And then the other thing is, that the other way to retain this energy and this motivation and enthusiasm and inspiration is that a person act on what he heard. Yani, that we don't leave here and just forget about the importance of time and go back to business as usual. The Shaykh yesterday, he said, if a person has spare time, and in their spare time, if they said, Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, or Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi, one time, a palm tree will be planted for them in Jannah. What about if they said it 100 times? Of course, with consciousness of the meaning of what you are saying. With, yani, presence of heart and mind. Not just saying it like the people who sit in the masjids or in the sitting places or in the streets, moving their fingers through dhikr beads, and they hold on a conversation about the NBA championship game. Or they hold on a conversation about the price of fruit in the market. But the person who says it, understanding the meaning and being conscious as they're saying it, conscious that they're believing what they're saying and conscious that they're saying something that is praise and glorification of Allah. With consciousness, with presence of heart and mind, believing in that, then indeed they will get a great reward. They will get a great reward. If a person says Subhanallah al-Azim wa bihamdihi one time, the Prophet ﷺ said, غُرِفَ لَهُ نَخْلَةٌ فِي الْجَنَّةِ, that a palm tree would be planted for him in Jannah. What about if he said it 100 times? What about if he said La ilaha illallah? What about if he said Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim? If he said Subhanallah, as the Prophet ﷺ said in another hadith, 100 times, he would get 1,000 hasanat. Or he will have erased from him 1,000 of his sins.
Now, I notice that when you have topics such as this, when a movie is done, you see the demeanor, the people sitting there, you say they were affected by what they heard. Because now they look at themselves. And now they realize that they are deficient. You know. However, I mean, I know it's common that when they leave settings like this,
Naam, we're human. But it's upon you, it's incumbent upon you not to let it diminish. Because there's things that you can do to prevent it from diminishing. Okay, so we know that there are certain things that a person can do that increase their iman, that strengthen their iman. And there are other things that decrease iman and weaken iman. So a person has to be conscious of those things and try to do the things that strengthen iman. So if a person wants the iman to remain high and the enthusiasm to be high, then they have to do certain things. And from amongst those things is the dhikr of Allah. Praising and glorifying Allah constantly with consciousness, with presence of heart and mind, with conviction, believing that what you're saying is a fact, is a reality. When you're saying Subhanallah, you are believing that it's a fact that Allah is free of all imperfections. That's a fact. You have to believe that. When you're saying Subhanallah, you're saying Allah, I declare Allah to be free of all imperfections. That He has no shortcomings. That He has no defects. That none of what they attribute to Him of falsehood is true. That He has a son, that He has a partner or anything like this. When a person says Subhanallah, they have to believe that. And if they say that with that consciousness, then indeed that's going to affect their heart. That's going to affect their iman. And that's what will increase the iman and strengthen the iman and maintain that level of yani taqwa and iman and enthusiasm. Naam. And these, and by the way, in closing, let me just say that this is the first of the yani, this is day number one of the first 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Ma min ayyam al-amal as-salih fiha ahabbu ila Allah min hadhihi al-ayyam," that there are no days in which good deeds done in them are more beloved to Allah than these days. Meaning that any good that you want to do, this is the best time to do it. If you do it any other time, it's not going to be more beloved to Allah than doing it now. So if a person wants to do a good deed, whether it's fasting, charity, dhikr, dua, reciting Quran, whatever it might be, this is the best time to do it in these days. And they're only 10 days. And know for sure that these days will come and they will go. And after they are finished, a person will say, "I wish that I had taken advantage of it." You know what? You know what? Wallahi, you're going to see these 10 days, inshallah, if you live 10 days, you're going to see them go, and most of us are going to regret that we didn't take advantage of this time. And just like when those 10 days are finished, and we say, "Wow, I didn't take advantage of this time," guess what? That's the way our life is going to be. It's going to be gone, and we're going to wish that we had taken advantage, but it's too late then. That's where our life is going to be. Just like these 10 days in front of us, if we live that long, we're going to see our life go away too. It's going to be finished. And the same way we regret that we let these 10 days get away, we're going to regret that we let our life get away. Get busy now. That is really the key. Ask Allah, turn to Allah. Ask Allah to help you to protect this time and to utilize it in that which will be of benefit to you. Take advantage of it before it escapes. And the ghanima, when it goes, it's not coming back again. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.